Welcome to Let's Locums, the podcast hosted by Drs. Mark and Allison Royer, ENT surgeons and the founders of SpecialtyLocums.com. Join us as we explore the world of locum tenens to help you navigate the options for a flexible and rewarding medical career.
Welcome to Let's Locums. This is Mark Royer. I'm an ear, nose, and throat surgeon and locum tenens physician. And I'm here with my wife and ENT partner and fellow ENT locums physician, Allie Royer.
Hello.
I'm going a little stir crazy here on our third day of kids out of school for snow and ice.
With two more to go.
So
it's okay. Wednesday. It's been fun.
We finished up some great skiing.
We did.
With the kids. And I think we're all ready to go back to school.
Yeah.
And work on everything else.
They're missing their friends.
There's something called Locumpedia. We first met the Locumpedia people at one of the National Association Locum Tenens Organizations meetings. And they keep their pulse on locum tenens organizations and what's going on in the field. One of the reasons that I'm a particular fan of them is because they have something called the Locumpedia Provider of the Year Awards. And last year for the 2023 awards, we submitted one of our docs and she won. So I keep tabs on all their stuff and I'm on their mailing list and they sent out a great end of year recap. I went through that and I was like, Allie, you should read this. I don't know if you've had a chance to yet, but I wanted to just run through these articles and get your take on it.
Sounds good. I have read it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a great recap of locums in 2024.
So the first article they highlight is the headline, "A Locum Tenens Drives Healthcare Growth." They essentially talk about the overall revenue growth. They get it from something called Staffing Industry Associates. Locum tenens was actually the only healthcare staffing segment to experience positive median revenue growth. And they listed that at 15%. I find that fascinating.
What are the other healthcare staffing segments?
That would be like travel nurses, for one. I think that's travel nursing has apparently taken a huge hit since COVID. Sometimes they'll do, and I think your uncle did this for a while years ago, like short-term executive staffing, if they need a CEO to put them in there. So locum tenens is the only healthcare staffing segment that experienced revenue growth.
Well, physician demand is... Hi.
It's totally nuts, right? They had some other news. These are just names of people and becoming managing partners. I didn't really find that too interesting.
Congratulations to them.
Oh, Matt Young, managing partner at All-Star Healthcare.
He's a really nice guy.
Let's see here. These are the people that kind of gave their outlook at their updated meeting. They underscored the earlier message that the U.S. staffing forecast reported the healthcare staffing sector had declined in market size for the first time since 2010. So healthcare staffing sector overall has declined for the first year in like 12, 13, 14 years, except for locum tenens, which outperformed other segments, expected to grow 12%. So they found that at the end of the year, that was ended up being the case. Key trends driving the growth, healthcare organizations and providers, a 2023 CHG healthcare study, CHG, of course, the parent company to CompHealth, Weatherby, Global Medical Staffing. Vast majority of healthcare facilities, they said 82%, said they most often work with locums while they're actively recruiting for permanent positions.
Right. Makes sense.
So, and that's actually the way we were talking. One of our guests we were talking to looks for locums positions, kind of direct contracting by reaching out to places that are advertising for permanent and say, hey, I don't want to work permanent, but would you want someone to fill in the meantime? So it seems like that's typically what they're trying to do. And nearly half of healthcare organizations surveyed, 46%, said they do so to prevent revenue loss while they do the search. So I don't think it's just the professional fees, but I think it's just all the ancillaries that like take our specialty, for example, the stuff that we order and do while we're seeing patients.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like to think of it too, as they want patients to feel at home in their healthcare system. And so they want to be able to provide services in all specialties, even if it's one where they don't have permanent providers in place at the moment.
Separate countrywide survey by CHG indicated locum tenens is attracting physicians across the board who are looking to spice up their careers, is the language Locumpedia uses. I feel like our career feels pretty spicy these days.
It does. That would have been the adjective I went with had you asked.
These physicians who recently adjusted their career goals, 44% reported turning to locums as part or all of that change, a noticeable increase from 28% in the previous survey.
Well, it's certainly a way, if you're feeling trapped or struggling with what to do, it's a way to kind of break out of the standard mold of physician practice and try something new.
And then another survey found that millennials, Gen X, and baby boomer physicians are trying out locum tenens. Around 28% of millennials reported doing locum work for at least one quarter of their jobs, compared to 26% of Gen X and 24% of baby boomers. Are those numbers surprising to you?
Yes, way higher than I thought they would be. Higher than I thought they would be, and more well-distributed than I thought they would be.
Yeah, I thought it would have been like 10%.
Yeah.
And then would you have thought it would have been higher among what cohort?
Well, so that's a good question. And I reflected on that as I was reading it. In one regard, you think end of career is a time where sometimes people take on locums assignments. But the, you know, baby boomers are traditional in the way of doing things often. And so I think that kind of those two are tugging against each other. I was excited to see the high number of people in our generation, millennials, who are open to part or all of their career being locums assignments.
28%. That is a high number.
Higher than I would have thought.
I would have thought you would see almost like a U type thing where I would have thought it would have been around 10%. What I would have thought is 10% millennials, 5% Gen X, and like 15% baby boomers. Like that would have been my take. Cause I really view those Gen Xers as the ones who are kind of really in the kind of meat of their careers. And I'm surprised that it's almost the same across those cohorts and as high as it is for everybody.
When I reflect on the physicians we have working with us, most of them are either early career with a situation where they're either switching jobs and playing out a non-compete to try to get settled into a more permanent position, or they have a social factor where they have a spouse who's doing a fellowship and they need work for a year or two while that's happening, or they're doing fellowships themselves and have gaps around that. And then we have many physicians who work with us who are finishing out their careers. And so I agree with you, the U-shaped curve reflects the people we're working with right now for sure.
Yeah. But I guess not reflective of the broader
not
market.
The broader
so
market.
I guess we need to focus some Gen X recruitment efforts.
There you go.
And then the Q4 2024 State of the Market from Medicus Healthcare Solutions talked about what specialties they viewed as the hot specialties.
Oh, I liked this part.
They include cardiology, expected to grow by 17% over the next 12 years, critical care, pulmonary, and urology, each projected to increase by 14%. What did you think about those specialties that are going to grow?
I think that it reflects the aging healthcare population.
That's what I think it is. I mean,
and the demand for pulmonary critical care, urology, and cardiology are all reflective of that.
And then the other thing they talked about, by 2028, the states most in need of physicians, Texas, New York, and Missouri.
Well, I mean, Texas has a growing population. New York, I think, has demand for everything, right? Missouri is a state we love and we work in. That does not feel an obvious need.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, they train a lot of physicians in Missouri. I mean, they have those strong programs in St. Louis.
So you have St. Louis, you have Kansas City, and you have Springfield. It's not one of those states that makes a list of, oh, this is, you know, the worst place to practice as a physician.
I don't think so.
So I don't know if it's growth in population that's not physicians or physicians leaving for some reason. 31st Annual Review of Physician and Advanced Practitioner Recruiting Incentives reported that the average starting salaries for physicians in all specialties are up yearly, often include repressive signing bonuses, relocation packages, continuing education.
It seemed to just trend with inflation.
Exactly
right. 6%? And the year before it had been 2%. Which
you
didn't
must have dug deeper than I did. Yeah.
With inflation.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, that's that med school valedictorian
I
memory.
I said I read it.
Separately, at Medicus and the American Association of American Medical Colleges, the AAMC, noted a predicted shortfall of nearly 50,000 primary care physicians by 2024.
Yeah.
They attribute that most NPs choosing to work in a specialty field where they can earn significantly more. And Physician Foundation found that there will also be a big need to bridge the gap in primary care NPs. Well, that'll work well for our sister-in-law, Stacy, primary care NP in Austin, Texas. So look at her. She's in the most needed needed area of NPing in one of the most needed states.
High demand states.
Yeah. She'll probably let her know that for her when her contract's up for renegotiation. Still, 75% of physicians surveyed said they'd be willing to accept or have already received less pay for more autonomy or work-life balance.
Yeah, I mean, those thoughts are going nowhere. I think in general, work-life balance at least comes into play when almost everyone now is considering starting a new job or changing jobs.
And then they jump into AI, of course. That's been the topic of the year.
Oh, yeah.
in almost all the news.
Do they jump
into
Bitcoin too?
I see nothing They're about crypto.
Covering all their bases on the Locompedia.
They certainly should. AI made significant waves in healthcare, boosting. I have so many issues, pro and con with AI, boosting diagnostic precision, streamlining administrative tasks like scheduling, data collection, research hypotheses, teaching, and elevating patient care.
Are they saying these are theoretical or these have been implemented?
Well, the interesting thing is that little paragraph seemed very AI written to me. They do mention that agencies can combine AI generated analytics with their human expertise to enhance the recruiting process using data driven insights, pinpoint necessary candidates. Yeah, this is AI written, I'm sure. Locompedia, I see what you're doing here in this AI section.
You can't hate on Locompedia.
I'm not hating on them.
You can edit this out. And I think we're all trying to figure out the AI world together.
Right. What is it useful for?
Using it.
What is it not useful for?
Implementing it in certain ways. And, you know, eventually it makes sense that it'll be implemented within healthcare. And I know it already is, but I think we're all still figuring it out.
Is their next heading? If there's one thing we love as much as locum tenens, it's talking about locum tenens. That's certainly true here.
At the Let's Locums podcast.
This fall, we published our guide to locums lingo for physician staffing. And they talk about the practical uses of the words locum tenens, locums, and locum. And so they tried to break down the right way to use it, what to avoid, along with a quick infographic. They're really splitting hairs here. I don't know. I just say a doc can say they're working locums, they're working locum tenens. I don't know. You're more of the language person than I am. Did you dive into that? Did you pull up their infographic?
I didn't. I feel very comfortable using those terms. So wasn't looking for additional help. But yeah, I think they all have their roles in communication about physician staffing for sure.
And then speaking of language, especially around healthcare delivery, notable shift in how we refer to PAs and what the abbreviation represents. So PAs typically has been physician assistant, and they are changing it to physician associate.
That's good. If they think it'll help people better understand their role in patient care.
That's what they're hoping to do, address misconceptions about
Makes
profession.
Sense.
I mean, if you have medical assistant and a physician assistant.
The MA part is very
I mean, a medical assistant is technically like a physician's assistant, provider's assistant. So I actually think that's a good call.
I think it's a good idea.
I enjoy working with the PAs we've worked with. I feel like they're
great.
Evansville, they train like alongside our medical students at the IU School of Medicine Evansville Center.
Yeah, well-trained, good workers.
The American Academy of Physician Assistants fully supports the update, emphasizing that it does not alter PA's scope of practice or legal responsibilities.
Right. For now, I think the confusion with medical assistant is probably
right. I think
the
issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the term physician burnout continues to draw headlines in healthcare, growing recognition that systemic changes are needed to address and hopefully one day eliminate this issue for millions of providers.
Yeah. I mean, physician burnout has been discussed, and specialists and consultants have been brought in now for at least the last handful of years.
And to that point, they go on to say that these providers still fear the term's overuse, risk diluting its significance and urgency. I agree with that. I mean,
I think they do.
It's getting used a lot. I use it a lot. I'm definitely guilty of that.
Yeah. Well, and there's like, it's a broad term that, you know, is it you're frustrated at the end of the day, or is it that truly you're thinking of exiting the career path, or, you know, It's used in a variety of situations, people's situations, and doesn't have a lot of specificity to the individual, I think, at this point.
And there was some, I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago, I really got on some people who were saying, you don't call it burnout. Burnout is what, I mean, that term technically came from people that were doing like in the 60s and 70s who were doing heroin or fentanyl.
I didn't even
like,
know that.
As they were smoking it or whatever, it would, they'd get the heroin nod, and it would like burn their chest. And so that's where like burnout came from. And that a more correct term, a more appropriate to actually what's going on is not, you know, because, and then burnout also has this idea of weakness and not able to self-cope, that it should actually be called moral injury. This idea that when you have a feeling of, as a physician, we went in there to help people and to provide them care and to come up with their care plan in a collaborative manner. But then you have all of this pressure to chart on Epic and to focus more on the administrative role of things, or feel like you have to see patients quicker than you want to see
them. Respond to your inbox.
Yeah, that there's like this huge disconnect where these pressures are opposed, and that's actually moral injury is more of an appropriate term. So. So I was using moral injury for a while, and then I got back on to using burnout, but I think I'm probably overusing it for those reasons.
I didn't realize that was the history of the term.
Yeah, that is what it what it was, originated, I think, in the 70s. Burnout. Okay.
I feel burned out with school snow days.
I feel moral injury with school snow days.
Moral injury from canceled school.
And then I was happy to see this. Best practices to grow a healthcare staffing firm. One of their number one was specialized. You know, we started as ENT only.
Yeah.
And now we're doing subspecialty surgery as we've grown that ENT market. And I think that was very useful. Be active on social media. We're really trying to start that. That's tough for us. Tough for me.
Yeah.
It's not really our forte.
Well, I've never had a Facebook account. I'm definitely not a social media pro.
Oh, this is exciting. Earlier this year, Florida and New Jersey joined 40 other states, Washington, D.C. and Guam, as middle of the members of the Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. And for those of you that don't know, the IMLC is a tool that allows locums to acquire licenses easily in multiple states. So very nice way. I've seen docs be able to be a part of the IMLC and get a license in a different state within 24, 48 hours before.
Yeah.
It's really, as that expands, it's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, all these licensing applications for the different states, they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
They want to know that you've done your training you're supposed to do or said you're going to do. They want to make sure that you have a clean record, and they want to make sure that you know, check your malpractice history. And I don't know why it has to be so siloed into all these different states. So I think anything that helps ease that transition makes a lot of sense and will only help locums continue to grow. Then I go back into talking about more people who got promoted. Again, congrats to those people. 21 locum tenens firms made the top 100 largest healthcare staffing firms. Fastest growing U.S. staffing firms included 10 companies with locum tenens on the list. So that would be like all staffing.
And, well, that's just reflective of what you were saying earlier about the growth of the industry and over certain other segments.
This year's Global Power 150 Women in Staffing include more than a dozen locum leaders. Oh man, we need to get you on that list. You definitely deserve to be on that list.
It's good to have goals.
Oh, this goes to our earlier point. CHG Healthcare had a travel nurse division. It was called RN Network. And CHG announced that they're going to be closing that in March of 2025. The travel nursing prices during COVID were insane. Talking to some hospital CEOs and the prices they were paying, especially in rural areas, I mean, they were paying $200, $250 an hour for travel nurses to staff. That was definitely not sustainable. Second annual locum tenens provider of the year. So this is their recap. And so they go back over the 2023 locum tenens providers of the year award. ENT Surgery Solutions had Dr. Kia Jones. What? They had some great candidates here. I definitely think Kia was most deserving. So if they had a penultimate, if they had a provider of the year of the provider of the year, I think it should have been her.
She definitely gets our vote.
Dr. Jones is now practicing in Atlanta, Georgia. She was a general ENT who we trained with and was in practice about 4 years or so, was it? And then decided she wanted to go back and do head and neck surgical oncology and reconstruction, which for those of you who aren't familiar with ENT specifically, that is a tough subspecialty to go into. It's long hours, big stressful cases. I just admire people who go into that. I feel like the actual surgeries themselves, the risk of complications are so much more difficult. Doing a laryngectomy with a flap, I mean, you can have all sort of post-radiation patient. I mean, you have all those mucosal surfaces, all that saliva. It's just, it has so many issues and not an easy thing to do. And I really admired. I know I speak for you too.
Absolutely.
You helped train her a lot more than I did. You were her chief, I think. She was a year or two behind me, but I really admired her willingness to leave a very comfortable situation and go and do some difficult training and now provide that care in a much needed field to a very needing community.
Absolutely.
Oh, they received a $150 donation to a nonprofit of their choice.
Yeah.
Do you remember what Kia's nonprofit was?
I don't.
I'm gonna recognize it here. Let me find it. She emailed it to me. I would like my award to go to the Starfish Initiative. That can be found at starfishinitiative.org. It offers a unique one-on-one mentoring program for motivated high school students to prepare them for personal and academic success. That's awesome.
Sounds like a great organization.
That was her charity of choice. And they're talking about just their year-end recap, 68 news stories, an average of nearly 6 stories per month. It's a good digest. I like.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I'm on their mailing list.
Me too.
Top 10 most popular stories of the year. Their number one story was Locumpedia updates nationaldoctorsday.org for 2024 with new theme, marketing toolkit, and campaign resources. Remember when we went to National Doctors Day? Well, I don't know if we went to, but it was National Doctors Day at one of the hospitals we were operating at, and we didn't know it. We swung by the lounge. Do you remember this?
I do.
And we went in and they were giving, they had like the people that were like giving out the gifts. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, thank you. And they gave one to me. And then they were like looking at you like,
yeah.
Wait, are you a doctor?
Yeah.
Too? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ascension St. Vincent Evansville.
It's one example of many.
Will it ever change? It seems like not.
I don't know. I would have thought long before I was in middle age.
Still have to like fight for your damn umbrella, man.
I fought in one though.
We got that umbrella. Then top 10 topics in locum tenens. I think this is their take. AI number one, talking about burnout number two, rural healthcare, staffing shortages, NALTO. Physician compensation, physician recruitment, telemedicine, and physician wellness. Kind of like burnout. So, all right, that was it. That was the Locumpedia 2024 recap and our quick and dirty read of it.
Well, it's great to know what's going on in the field and keep apprised of new issues on the horizon. It sounds like in this case, you know, AI, which is broadcast everywhere, is also impacting the locums field. And we'll keep an eye out on 2025 to see how that evolves, as well as the overall demand for physician staffing.
And thanks to Locumpedia. I don't know how you guys are funded or how you get your money, because it comes to us for free, but love what you guys do and hope you keep it up. And thanks for naming Kia Jones the Locum Tenens Provider of the Year for ENT Surgery Solutions. That was I know that meant a great deal to us and to her.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Allie.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Let's Locums, a podcast brought to you by SpecialtyLocums.com and hosted by Drs. Mark and Allison Royer. SpecialtyLocums.com is a physician-run locum tenens company dedicated to providing the best docs the best jobs at the best sites. Join us every week as we discuss tips on utilizing locum tenens as part of your professional journey.